So proudly we hailed.
Good morning, my fellow Americans. I hope everyone is having a wonderful day. Good morning to all my great American patriots all across this great nation, all across the globe, and all of those Americans out there in Afghanistan that are trying to get back home. Good morning to all of you guys. I want to give you guys some motivation. I want to give you guys something to think about. I want to start the show off with something completely different. I don't usually do this, but I ran into this and it was just so well said that I feel almost an obligation to post this up for you guys. And I think that this is going to motivate you and make you think, for those of you who have not heard it yet. Let's get it.
Half the country fell asleep, but they scream woke. We're distracted by vaccines and TV shows. Politics, celebrity, gossip, popular, neat quotes. Black lives, white lives, which lives mean most? We only dedicate one day to remember our fallen soldiers, the men and women who died young. But if you come out the closet as Caitlyn Jenner, you're a hero and you get a whole Pride Month. The most dangerous pandemic's propaganda from these clowns. Only mask that's gonna save us is duct tape on their mouths. Don't speak. We don't need to defund police, need to defund the media who lies through their teeth like Big Pharma doesn't cure you, dog. Cause every patient that gets cured is a customer lost. And Big Oil runs the world. The only wars that get fought are with the countries who have natural resources they want. Heard him claiming if a white man braids his hair and likes rap, he's appropriating culture. But if a white man acts too white, he's white trash. He's a racist, he's a bigot, he's a monster. Let's just have the conversation. Not every liberal is dumb, not all Republicans are racist. The government wants everybody fighting with their neighbors, cause they know that if we get along, we'll probably go against them.
They can't stop us, cause we're ready to fight. Trying to brainwash us, but we won't let freedom die. The whole world's brainwashed.
Everybody pick a team, start a riot in the streets.
The whole world's brainwashed.
It's us against them, it ain't you against me.
How did monkeys become people and people turned into sheep? They put fluoride in the water that's keeping us all asleep. Claim they want what's best for us, I find it hard to believe. Cause they've been selling us cigarettes since we was 18. Fake news, fake woke, distract and divide. You're either right or you're left, or you're black or you're white. Big tech don't need a microchip to hack in your life, cause the phone inside your pocket is a tracking device. And I don't know what I'm more sick of, rappers or Joe Biden looking like he ate 100 Xanax for dinner. Cause censoring the president and kicking him off Twitter is a bigger threat to freedom than foreign ballistic missiles. You don't trust the police or the government, but you want people giving up their right to own a firearm. Why would you be comfortable if police and the government the only people on the planet with the right to buy a gun? White privilege getting amplified to reinforce division. It convinces white people that they're favored by their skin, and black people getting angry because they're told they're treated different. So the conflict is between us and never with the system. Let's just have the conversation. Not every liberal is dumb, not all Republicans are racist. The government wants everybody fighting with their neighbors, cause they know that if we get along, we'll probably go against them.
They can't stop us, 'cause we're ready to fight. Trying to brainwash us, but we won't let freedom die. The whole world's brainwashed.
Everybody pick a team, start a riot in the streets.
The whole world's brainwashed.
It's us against them, and then you against me.
Step one, train the people only to consume. Step two, infiltrate adults with the news. Step three, indoctrinate the children through the schools and the music and the apps on the phones that they use. Step four, separate the right from the left. Step five, separate the white from the black. Step six, separate the rich from the poor. Use religion and equality to separate them more. Step seven, fabricate a problem made a lie. Step eight, put it on the news every night. Step nine, when people start to fight and divide, take control. This is called situational design.
They can't stop us, 'cause we're ready to fight. Trying to brainwash us, but we won't let freedom die. The whole world's brainwashed.
Everybody pick a team, start a riot in the streets.
The whole world's brainwashed.
It's us against them, it ain't you against me.
Now, I will tell you, that is some fucking motivational music, I will tell you, by Tom McDonald. If you guys don't know who he is, he's a self-proclaimed rapper. He's not under any single label. That guy is very poetic when he raps. I believe he's a great rapper because he's rapping on something that is extremely difficult to do, which is politics. How easy is it to rap about parties, clubs, going and selling drugs and all the stuff that they rap about? But how hard is it to know actual facts about things that are going on and actually rap about it and make sense with it in your rhymes? So I thought I'd play that because I just thought it was phenomenal work, probably one of his best work as of yet. The guy's amazing, and he's a true patriot, and he's fighting to try to unite America. Plain and simple. Now, we had a large COVID conversation yesterday on the podcast. Unfortunately, it continues to keep being brought up, and it continues to be on the mainstream media. It's not going anywhere anytime soon. That being said, I'm going to give you guys a little bit of stats because I think people need to be informed about the FDA approving these vaccines. Again, I'm not telling anyone to take the vaccine, not to take the vaccine. It's up to you. Now, I'm just going to give you numbers out there and you guys make your decision for yourself. All right, so I'm going to give you the viral pathogen, the virus discovery, vaccine human use, and years to make the vaccine, okay? We'll start off with yellow fever, 1900s. Vaccine in 1935, took them 35 years to make it. Polio, 1909, 1954, before people started using the vaccine, it took them 45 years. Measles, 1911. People started using vaccines in 1957, 46 years later. HSV, in 1919, it was discovered. Vaccine for human use, not available. Years to vaccine, 102 plus. Influenza, 1933. We started using vaccines in 1945. It took them 12 years. RSV, 1956, not available for human use, over 65 years and counting. Dengue virus, 1960. We started getting the vaccine in 2019, 59 years later. Hepatitis B, 1967. In 1984, it was ready for human consumption, human use, 17 years later. Rotavirus, 1973. In 1998, humans were using it, 25 years. Hepatitis A, 1973. 1995 is when humans started using it, 22 years later. HPV, 1974. 2007, when people were using it, 33 years later. HIV, 1983, not available, 30 years and still going. HCV, 1989, not available, 31 years and going. COVID-19, 2019 was the virus discovered. 2020, vaccine for human use. Years to make the vaccine, 6 months. Okay? So these are actual stats. These are actual numbers of vaccines and how long the trials took and how long it took for them to be developed. You make your choice on whether or not FDA approving a vaccine in such a short period of time is even credible at this point. Again, I'm just giving you simple facts. You could do what you want with these facts that I'm giving you. Now, Dr. Q was a little upset with me yesterday because he says that the email that he, the video that he wanted the viewers to listen to was not, in fact, the one that I posted. It was something else. So he resent it to me, guys. He resent me the thing, and now I don't know where in the world I put it. I may have just trashed it by accident. I don't know where I put it. Okay. Wow, this is incredible. I misplaced it, and I don't know. Oh, here it is. Okay. So, this is the video that Dr. Q would like for everyone to listen to that will open people's eyes, apparently. Again, I'm not a doctor. I don't know anything but the facts that I research and the facts that I look up. That is all I do. Now, let's go on and let's go straight to this video.
I have... My name's Dr. Sean Brooks, PhD, Oxford. I have 48 publications, including 23 books. I've studied health, medicine, anatomy, and physiology for approximately 21 years. Dr. Robert Malone, who created the messenger RNA vaccine, has said no one should ever take these jabs, ever, under any circumstance whatsoever. He created it, and he says don't ever do it. So let me explain what's going to happen to the people who have taken it, excuse me. The people who have taken it are going to die in the next 6 months to 3 to 5 years for three reasons. Number one, you have dramatically decreased your own immune system by 35%. The first jab did it by at least 15. The second did it by 35 now. If you take any booster shot, you will die. That's it. You take a flu shot in the future, you will die. The second reason, antibody-dependent enhancement. Antibody-dependent enhancement is what is happening with these jabs with everybody who has taken them. Unless, of course, you've taken a placebo, but there's no way that you would know that. So given that fact, antibody-dependent enhancement tricks the entire body into believing that the cell that's eating the pathogen is eating it when it isn't. It ends up leading to what's called a cytokine storm, which causes organ failure. That will cause your death, and there's no stopping that. No amount of drugs will stop that. The third thing, blood clotting. Everyone who has taken the jabs is blood clotting. If you don't believe me, there's a way you can find out. Take what's called a D-dimer test. What that does is that detects blood clotting at the microscopic level. They're cutting full blood clots out of people right now. As I'm talking to you, millions have died from the jabs. In your last meeting, you advocated for people to take the jabs potentially in the future, along with wearing masks. And I heard parents say the same thing. So to the parents who are actually considering jabbing their own children, you're going to sterilize them permanently. People who have taken the jabs are sterilized. 80% of women who have been jabbed have lost their children in the first trimester. You can't have kids.
So this is pretty scary, but there is a part two to this. So far, I mean, that guy has
people who have taken the jabs are
the guy has the credentials. Now, is he factual on what he's saying? You guys have to do your own research. I present you with some of the things that I find or something that Dr. Q may send me. Am I believing what the man says? Yeah, why not? He's a doctor. Why wouldn't I? Why would I take other doctors serious, but not this doctor serious? And I've got some other news from the WHO that just came out today.
Sterilized. 80% of women who have been jabbed have lost their children in the first trimester. You can't have kids. You've also injected yourself with the equivalent of HIV. You can now no longer breastfeed, donate blood, donate organs, donate blood plasma, nor bone marrow. If you don't believe me, try to donate blood and blood plasma and find out what happens. You will be denied. Unless, of course, you live in California, in which case they're allowing people to donate toxic blood with spike proteins in it. The jabs create spike proteins. They're in the jabs themselves, and they create it by snapping your RNA in half. You are no longer a human anymore. You are something else, and you are susceptible to countless diseases. Now, here's what's going to happen in the future very quickly.
You have 15 seconds.
Great. I don't know what percentage of your staff has taken the jabs, but your school is going to close. You will not stay open. You will close because they will fall ill and they will die. That will happen in all of your buildings. It will have. It's already happening.
All right, thank you, sir.
I bet it is. Thanks. It's already happening. Sure. Good luck, because nothing can stop what's
thank
coming.
You, sir.
That's interesting. Now, again, I would research more on who this gentleman is, who this person. It's apparently on Twitter. You can find the thread. It's the user's maybe 607-94885. That is the user's name. It's under a thread called Grasshopper. Don't know much about this. This was sent to me by Dr. Q. And again, I'm going to post it because Dr. Q says that the people need to know the truth. He is still giving me orders from his house, not wanting to be on the show, but continuously because he is dealing with some personal issues. But again, and I will break some other news to you, which I don't know whether to trust them or not, because regardless, these people have lied to us on numerous occasions. Numerous occasions. But the WHO, which I found this to be extremely, extremely interesting, announced that people should not. WHO leader pleads against booster shots, questioning efficiencies and highlights risk of more potent variants. So the leader, even though he's been a liar, he's been protecting China, maybe he's having remorse now, or maybe he's just lying to us again. We don't know. But he's obviously saying nobody should be taking these booster shots. Because, again, when did the Delta variant begin? After people started getting vaccinated. I mean, this is just common sense. These are just things that you can just... These are just things that you can just research yourself, and common sense tells you something's off here, right? And frankly, to be perfectly honest with you, Dr. Q's onto something with this video. I mean, I don't know how factual it is. Only time shall tell. But I will trust, in my personal opinion, I will trust my own immune system. I will trust that taking vitamins and enhancing my immune system and making my immune system stronger will protect me. If I end up in the hospital because I have COVID-19 or somehow I got it, oh well. It is what it is. That's life. I got sick. I can tell you a recent family member of mine wasn't vaccinated, got COVID, said it felt like the flu for like about 3 or 4 days. He lost sense of taste, lost sense of smell. So what is it? So is that the Delta variant or is that just COVID-19? Because those seem to be the same exact symptoms of COVID-19, but now they're just calling it the Delta variant. Same exact symptoms. But the Delta variant seems to be much stronger, and it seems to be spreading wildly after we took these vaccines, after the American people and people all over the world started taking vaccines. Again, do I think that the world that people are going to be dying in 3 to 5 years and people who take booster shots are immediately going to be dying? I don't know. But I did read you facts on vaccines and how long these vaccines take before they're developed. Yes, also keep in mind that a lot of these, that science has also evolved as well. And our science is much better than it was in the 1900s, obviously. But again, we still have no vaccine for HIV. And as you can see from the stats that I read, there is a lot of different viruses that we do not even have a vaccine for. I don't know the details of what's inside these vaccines. I don't know. I can only tell you that I'd be wary about the vaccine. At least personally, I'm not planning on taking it, especially after what I've been witnessing and the things that I've been seeing. I'm a dead no, no matter what. So, I mean, there is nothing on God's green earth that is going to be, that's going to make me take that vaccine. Nothing. So now that we got the whole COVID conversation out of the way, guys, always remember that I will be the voice for the American people always and forever. If you guys would like to be on my show or leave a message and just have your voices heard, the number's 310-498-5463. That's 310-498-5463. Or you can email me at Jase, J-A-S-E, at therepublicannation.com. That's J-A-S-E, at therepublicannation.com. Now, let's go to Afghanistan, where things are just heating up, where there's going to be apparently all Republicans are believing there's going to be a bloodbath over there. I think things are going to be, really bad, and they're going to escalate very quick. Republicans were just briefed by the intel community, as well as the national advisors, the advisors of President Biden. And after being advised and getting the information that they needed, they came to the conclusion that there is no way that the August 31st deadline would ever be possible in any which scenario. Which leads me again to believe Joe Biden is a fucking...
I came in like a wrecking ball.
So, and then we have the other situations that are occurring as well with his lying. He continues to lie. His rhetoric continues to go on. He says the intel community told him one thing, and now he's saying another thing. The Taliban is bullying him. They're deciding and they're making the decisions, and they're actually issuing threats to Joe Biden, which in return makes all Americans look weak, makes our troops lose their morale. And this is the guy that's president of the United States. This is embarrassing. This is ridiculous. How on earth did this man get elected? I only have one answer for that. They fucking cheated. I cannot ever think that the American people are this stupid, or 80 million people are that stupid and that full of hate and that full of anger to elect this moron into office. I mean, this guy is literally the dumbest president, will go down in history as the worst president of our time. He's horrible. And it's crazy because we're seeing right now the United States bending over backwards and taking advice or taking orders from the Taliban. The United States of America, the most powerful military force on the planet, is being bullied by the Taliban. This is incredible, and this was all on Joe Biden's watch, every single bit of it. Now, another interesting story that popped up. It's not going to make headlines, guys. It won't make headlines because people will not promote these. You would have to probably look into local newspapers, possibly, maybe Fox News might report on it. So they arrested a man outside of 7-Eleven. Listen to this crazy shit. Only in America. And I wonder what he was doing with this. But they arrested a man. Apparently the guy passed out, probably using drugs or something. He passed out outside of 7-Eleven. The police was called. And when the police was called, they found drugs, loaded gun. May I say this was a convicted felon. So he had a loaded gun. But the mystery is not that. The mystery is they found hundreds of California recall ballots. So how does an ex-convict get hundreds of California recall ballots? Does it remind you of a story that broke after the election about a Philadelphia mob associate or leader, whatever you want to call him, that apparently was helping Joe Biden or was being paid by officials to help Joe Biden. But interesting enough, this is actually on the news. This is fact, and we have evidence of it. But if this guy, this small timer can have hundreds of California ballots, can you imagine what somebody that's maybe a top dog? So, again, people, wake up and smell the coffee. Wake up and smell the coffee. You gotta wake up. So, again, we also have on one side Dr. Fauci, who I am tired of seeing this fucking asshole on TV, but again, he's the face of COVID-19, probably part of the creation of COVID-19, if you ask me. He says he respects people's freedom, but this is a public health crisis. He loves being on TV, by the way. If anybody has noticed Dr. Fauci, he's always on TV, loves it. He loves the fame of it. The problem is I know the old Dr. Fauci, and I've seen articles of the old Dr. Fauci where he was promoting a vaccine that was killing hundreds and hundreds of people. So you know what, Fauci? You may be able to trick a few people, or a lot of people, mostly people on the left, but you're not fooling me. So he believes in people's freedoms. But since it's a public health crisis, people should be forced to take the vaccine. Fuck freedom, fuck the Constitution, forget religion, even though it's our God-given right to choose what goes into our body. Forget about that. No, because the Food and Drug Administration approved Pfizer, now everybody must take the vaccine. I wonder what pushed them. I mean, because I've been seeing the pressure heating up. I've been seeing it on the news where a lot of lawmakers, specifically on the left, have been pushing for the FDA to push this one through. Again, who do we hold accountable if something was to happen due to the vaccine, even if the FDA approved it? There's not any one individual we can go after. It's a government entity. Well, who are we going to go after if something was to happen? No one. Because they're protected. So at the end of the day, it had me a little bit with a change of heart, let's say, due to the fact that it was approved, right? But again, I'm not fully convinced. I'm not fully convinced. And since I don't feel comfortable, I am not going to take it. Now, something that I did notice, and it's something that should wake people up. And you guys can notice this little trend, right? If you really pay attention, and the perfect guy to break this down is Tucker Carlson. And I noticed this how, because I flipped through the channels, you have to be willing to at least engage with left-wing. Even though CNN is bought and paid for, it's not really a news agency, it's propaganda. But interesting enough, there was something that caught my attention. And I'm going to tell you what it is. I've been noticing the attacks on Joe Biden. Everybody's attacking Joe Biden. The same ones that were literally promoting and running propaganda for him in order to get him elected are now turning on him. I don't think I'm the best one to describe this, but interesting enough, this has been on my mind for several, since the Afghan took over, I mean, the Taliban took over Afghanistan, and I've been seeing people, mind you, they don't give a shit about abortions, they don't care about people's religious freedoms, they don't care about all the people dying in Chicago, they don't care about people that are living in poverty, they don't care, but suddenly this issue in Afghanistan was the final straw. I wonder if this was all just part of a giant game the left was playing. And I'm wondering if they're still playing it and they're preparing us for something new. But I'll let you go ahead and listen to yourself what Tucker Carlson had to say.
Learned a lot in the past 5 days. Maybe the most important thing we've learned is that Joe Biden is not capable of running the country. Joe Biden is senile. Saying that out loud is not an attack on Biden. Any decent person feels sorry for him. You watch him gaze vacantly into the middle distance or stumble like a drunk man trying to cross an icy street as he careens through his prepared remarks. There's no joy in watching any of that. It could be any of us someday and probably will be. It's not Joe Biden's fault he can't think clearly. It's an indictment of the people around him. In the months before last November's election, Joe Biden's own family knew perfectly well that he was in profound cognitive decline. They were worried about it. They told other people they were worried about it, which is how we know. But they did nothing to stop Biden from running for president. Neither did Ron Klain, who's now the White House chief of staff. Klain is highly familiar with Joe Biden's senility. He works there every day. So does Mike Donlin and Gene Sperling and Susan Rice and the rest of the people making the decisions in this country, very much including Barack Obama. They all know. These are hard and cynical and clear-eyed people. They have worked with Joe Biden for many years. Not one of them has any doubt that Biden is failing. And now that's obvious to the rest of the country. Anyone who's been paying attention or already caught on to this, of course. But until recently, it didn't seem to matter a whole lot. You saw Biden on television grinning and mumbling. He was up there reminding you to put on your little mask or wear your seatbelt or go easy on the sodium. None of it seemed especially threatening. These are the things that elderly men talk about in real life. Be safe out there, kids. But in the last week, we've been reminded how tiny our domestic concerns actually are. They're neuroses born of narcissism. A Chinese flu virus? Please. That's hardly the scariest thing going on in the world right now. It's not even close. The entire U.S. military has just been humiliated by illiterate peasants in turbans. And if that's not insulting enough, many of them are carrying our rifles as they did it. It makes you wonder about the future of the West and who's going to replace us when we're gone. Someone in authority probably ought to be thinking about that and about a lot of other things, too. What are we going to do when the Chinese finally move against Taiwan? How are we going to respond when there's a credible challenge to the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? There are issues out there, a lot of them, in other words, that matter slightly more than whether you keep your mask over your nose on that Southwest flight to Tucson. It is shameful. It's embarrassing when you think of how totally frivolous and up our own butts we've been for the last couple of years. All we can say for certain at this point is that Joe Biden will not be making any of the big decisions going forward. He's not capable of being the president in crisis. So who will be? We can't say. But it's clear if you watch closely that things are changing very fast in Washington. The people around Biden are moving away from him in ways that are not at all subtle. Why is this happening now? Was it always the plan? Did the party that hates white guys finally realize it was being led by one? Again, we don't know the answer. But the signs of it are everywhere, and they are strikingly obvious. Some of Biden's most senior appointees are contradicting him in public. If you cover politics, it is shocking to see that. It's a violation of the first and most ruthlessly enforced rule in any White House, which is don't diminish the boss. But suddenly they're doing just that, and they're doing it openly. Just hours after Biden assured the country that things were fine in Afghanistan, Lloyd Austin, his defense secretary, described the situation in Afghanistan as a disaster. And then Austin repeated this for emphasis. Others are doing the same thing. Here's Biden this afternoon telling us that American citizens are having no trouble whatsoever getting to the airport in Kabul.
We have no indication that they haven't been able to get in Kabul through the airport. We've made an agreement with the Taliban thus far. They've allowed them to go through. It's in their interest for them to go through.
So there was the president of the United States going on television today to assure us that things are fine for Americans in Kabul. But just an hour later, here's the Pentagon spokesman telling you that actually that's not true. Americans are being beaten in Kabul. Watch.
Defense Secretary Austin just now in a briefing call with House lawmakers said the reports Americans have been beaten by the Taliban in Kabul. Is the U.S. military under orders to stay at the airport and not go protect them?
I think we've been talking about this throughout the entire briefing. We're certainly mindful of these reports, and they're deeply troubling. And we have communicated to the Taliban that that's absolutely unacceptable, that we want free passage through their checkpoints for documented Americans. And by and large, that's happening.
So the president tells us that we have an ironclad deal with the Taliban and everything's cool. An hour later, John Kirby tells us we're deeply concerned about what the Taliban is doing. So in a normal administration with the president who planned on serving out his full four-year term, what you just saw would qualify as a kind of scandal. The Pentagon spokesman would be in serious trouble. He just contradicted his boss, the man who's supposed to be in control of the entire executive branch of government. But as we noted, things are changing very fast. Watch it happen again. Here's Biden from today telling us that al-Qaeda has been driven from Afghanistan.
What interest do we have in Afghanistan at this point with al-Qaeda gone? We went to Afghanistan for the express purpose of getting rid of al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, as well as getting Osama bin Laden. And we did.
Once again, just an hour after he said that, the president of the United States is contradicted in public by his own employee. Again, here's the Pentagon spokesman.
We know that al-Qaeda is a presence, as well as ISIS, in Afghanistan, and we've talked about that for quite some time.
But the president just said that there is no al-Qaeda presence in Afghanistan. That does not seem to be correct.
What we believe is that there isn't a presence that is significant enough to merit a threat to our homeland as there was back on 9/11 20 years ago.
So that's the opposite of what Biden just said. So here you have the top spokesman for the most powerful agency in the entire government informing us that the president of the United States has no idea what he's talking about. You don't see that every day. In fact, you never see it. But it's not just Biden's employees who appear to be turning on him in public. So are some of his key political allies, the neocons, liberals who used the Republican Party for their own purposes for decades before abandoning it when Trump arrived, are now attacking Joe Biden openly and very aggressively. That didn't take long. But most telling of all is this. It's from CNN. Watch.
It is just an absolute mess. And we heard President Biden say yesterday in his comments to ABC News that this is not a failure. And I think a lot of people outside that airport, particularly those taking the kinds of extreme actions we're just talking about, would like to know, if this isn't failure, what does failure look like exactly?
So Joe Biden failed, and he's lying about it. That's what CNN just told us. It is hard to overstate the significance of the clip you just saw. CNN is not a news network. CNN is a political organization. Its anchors and reporters don't decide for themselves what to say on camera. They are told what to say. They're told in highly specific terms every weekday morning on a call with their commander, Jeff Zucker. There's no intellectual freelancing at CNN. Here's what I think. No, it's a united front, a single hymnal for the entire congregation. When CNN takes a position or changes its position on something, it changes as one. Everybody, from the chirpy morning dingbats to Don Lemon on the night shift, they all say precisely what they are told to say. Ever watch the channel? And now they're saying something very, very different. Consider this person. This is a former member of the morning zoo crew on a contemporary hit station in Yakima, Washington. On a good day, she's probably operating with a functional IQ of about 85. So it's fair to say she is not coming up with her own material. And yet here she is, visibly outraged, on the air, telling you what an incompetent, bad person Joe Biden is.
The rapid fall of Afghanistan stunning the Biden administration and this nation, quite frankly. And many of the promises, predictions, and the words of the president and his White House are coming back to haunt them.
What is going on here? These are literally the people who got Joe Biden elected president. He would not be president without these people. And now, just 7 months into his administration, they are telling you that he has failed personally. It does not make sense. And it's not the issue. Afghanistan is hardly the first disaster. As of tonight, our southern border has collapsed. The murder rate is spiking in our cities. The COVID vaccines do not work. Inflation is out of control. The country's entire population of school children hasn't been educated in more than a year. All of that's been going on. None of it seemed to bother CNN in the slightest. In fact, they reserved their energy to attack anyone who noticed those trends. But now, suddenly, their anchors are completely and totally enraged because Americans are trapped in Afghanistan. They don't notice the 70,000 who die every year of drug ODs. But this has sent them into paroxysms of self-righteous rage. Call us cynical, but we don't buy it. Something else is going on here. We don't know what it is exactly, but it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious. They're preparing for Kamala Harris. That is what they're doing. They're preparing for Kamala Harris. Now, I'm going to tell you, we have madness going on. We have madness going on all over this country. They have people panicking. They have people scared. It's a very good fear tactic that they've got going. The left has really managed to use COVID-19 to their advantage. They've managed to use it so much to their advantage. They were able to steal an election, have people in fear, control the masses, have people divided and fighting against each other. If it was so dangerous, if this COVID-19 was so dangerous, why are they making laws where government officials don't need to wear a mask? Why do politicians get caught constantly not wearing a mask? This is all about control. Now, I'm gonna put in another clip, and I apologize about this, for putting in another clip of Tucker, because this is how serious this has gotten with when it comes to the whole wearing masks, mask mandates, and all this craziness that's going on in this country. Just take a listen.
At the height of the worst pandemic in American history, that would be the Spanish flu of 1918, cities across America did something that the rest of us would find familiar today. They issued mandatory mask mandates, and they punished anyone who didn't comply. Quote, the man or woman or child who will not wear a mask now is a dangerous slacker, reads a typical announcement from the Red Cross at the time. The city of San Francisco took these rules very seriously, so seriously that a city health agent in San Francisco shot a man who refused to wear a mask. He hit the two bystanders who happened to be standing behind the man. Now, that seemed a bit much to some people, but many other people thought it was fine. They went along with it. They were very afraid of the virus. They wanted to do their part to stop it. But most of all, they trusted their leaders. And if their leaders put a mandate in place, they assumed it was for a good reason and they wanted to help. And then a single picture changed everything. A photographer who happened to be attending a boxing match in San Francisco snapped a shot of several high-ranking city officials. That would include the mayor of San Francisco, a member of Congress, a senior health administrator, all sitting at the event, all completely unmasked. The photograph went national. Americans were shocked to discover that the people making and enforcing the rules had no intention of following those rules. Within a short period, mask mandates across the country ended. It turns out the public was willing to endure inconvenience, but not hypocrisy. This country is facing a similar moment again now. Once again, officials in California have been caught on camera exposing their own contempt for their own public health measures. This is footage shot at a Democratic fundraiser yesterday morning in Napa Valley. That's just north of San Francisco. Nancy Pelosi was there. She's got an estate right nearby. So were other Democratic officials and the party's biggest donors. They paid $30,000 per ticket to be there. Now, looking at the picture, the first thing you notice about the group, other than how strikingly homogenous and non-diverse it is that none of them are wearing masks. They're breathing all the fresh air they like, as if it's 2019 again. The only people there who are wearing masks are their servants, the faceless brown serfs scurrying back and forth to bring them things. There's nothing worse than having the help breathe on you. But that's not a problem for Nancy Pelosi, as you can see.
Mask is all about young people and how we're reaching out to young people in the Olympics. Well, young people, we always ask them, how do you want to be reached out to?
It's repulsive, but revealing. It's pretty clear at this point that Nancy Pelosi, our chief COVID enforcer, doesn't believe a word she says about the virus. Now, Pelosi is 81 years old. That's deep in the risk range for coronavirus. She's standing at a crowded event in Napa, which, according to the Biden administration's color-coded map of the country, is one of the riskiest places in America for coronavirus transmission. And yet Pelosi is not social distancing. She's not wearing a face shield. She doesn't even have a mask on. Why is that? Well, clearly she understands she's not in danger. And since there are no Republicans present, she has no reason to pretend otherwise. As a reminder, here's what Nancy Pelosi sounds like when she's back in Washington.
Members and staff will be required to wear masks at all times.
This is a mask from all over the country. I'm getting these masks.
Real men wear masks, and these masks are essentially important. The chair views the failure to wear a mask as a serious breach of decorum.
I have no advice for them, except when they come here, they have to wear a mask.
But in any case, I'm a big believer in wearing the mask and not sharing any, shall we say, air unnecessarily.
Yeah. So the real justification for mask mandates was right in the middle of that montage of clips. Quote, failure to wear a mask is a serious breach of decorum, Nancy Pelosi says. And she means it. And that's why in Napa, her little brown servants wear masks as they bring her wine. Decorum demands that they do. If there has ever been a clear window into their plans, into the society they are trying to build now, we're not aware of it. Our formerly middle-class nation now has a surf class, and they're the ones wearing the masks. They're the ones being forced to take drugs they don't want. They're the ones being told not to communicate with one another except through the digital channels the party controls. Social distance. We now have two groups of Americans, not a broad middle. We have the favored and the unfavored. We have the saved and the damned. We have the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. That is exactly how the architects of all of this see the country. Michael Hayden once ran the two most powerful spy agencies in America, the CIA and the NSA. Yesterday, a Twitter user asked him this question, quote, can we send the MAGA-wearing unvaxxed to Afghanistan? Yes, replied Michael Hayden. Good idea. That's how contemptuous they feel about you. Shut up and fetch another glass of Riesling, serf, and be sure not to breathe on me or you'll be deported. These are bad attitudes, and they're accelerating. How far can they go? Well, for the answer, look to New Zealand, a famously placid outpost in the fast-shrinking Anglosphere. A single COVID case in New Zealand, not a death from COVID, but a case of COVID, has shut down the entire country. New Zealanders have now been told they are not allowed to speak to their neighbors.
Stay local and do not congregate. Don't talk to your neighbors. Please keep to your bubbles. It comes down again to those very simple principles.
Wow.
We know from overseas
keep to your bubbles.
Cases of the Delta variant that it can be spread by people simply walking past one another. So keep those movements outside to the bare minimum. Wear a mask. And make sure you keep up that physical distancing.
Do you hear that? By the way, the lady with the teeth is very popular with people like Michael Hayden. She's considered super impressive, visionary, really. Don't talk to your neighbors. Stay in your bubble. That's New Zealand. But it's freer than Australia. In Australia, the government has implemented total lockdowns nationwide and then imposed martial law to enforce those lockdowns. What's the justification for this? Well, here are the numbers. From mid-July until last week, the entire nation of Australia, that's 25 million people, has averaged about 1.5 COVID deaths per day out of 25 million people. And that has been enough to justify the end of Australia and totalitarianism. In one recent case, which really does say it all, authorities executed rescue dogs, shot the dogs to death, to prevent Australian dog lovers from traveling to adopt the dogs. Leaving your home is no longer allowed. So they just killed the dogs. And the population put up with it. They were told they had to. Nightly news in Australia now looks like a science fiction film. One recent report described a 27-year-old fugitive. Was he a mass killer? No. He had dared to venture outside of his apartment complex. For doing that, for leaving the building, the media showed surveillance footage of the man entering an elevator and then, brace yourselves, sneezing without covering his face. There was no one else in the elevator at the time. For that, there is now a nationwide manhunt underway. An arrest warrant for this man has just been issued. We're not making this up.
Come on, man.
And that man is not the only person the Australian media and police are hunting for tonight. One Australian news outlet just reported, and we're quoting, a tip to Crime Stoppers has blown the lid on a church service attended by 60 adults and children. The gathering has been described as selfish and arrogant, end quote, for going to church. So what else in Australia is now considered, quote, selfish and arrogant? It's not just going to church or leaving your apartment or trying to adopt a dog. Watching the sunset is also selfish and arrogant. Watch.
There's a whole bunch of people down the Ryback Beach last night who thought the best thing to do was to go and watch the sunset. I'm sure it was a beautiful sunset. But that's not in the spirit or in the letter of these rules.
Rules.
Scolded for watching the sunset, executing rescue dogs, a nationwide manhunt for a guy who sneezed alone in an elevator. No one in Australia is laughing at this. No one can stand back far enough to see the lunacy on display. They're too far gone. This has been in the works for a long time, by the way. A situation like this does not happen overnight, long before COVID. In 2016, the government of Australia ended almost all legal protections for public protests. And at the time, people tolerated it. They trusted their government. They didn't think it was necessarily a big deal. So on Saturday this weekend, as protesters gathered in Melbourne, the government used its new authority to silence them.
This is madness. Madness.
What did I breathe? What did I...
Someone get captured!
This is madness. What I'm watching right now is complete madness. We're not the only ones in trouble, guys. The world is in trouble. Other countries are taking advantage of it, as well as the Democrats.
If that were Iran, if that footage was shot in Tehran over the weekend, we'd all tug our chins and say, of course, the mullahs, they're not like us. But it's not Iran. It's not North Korea. It's Australia, what we thought was a rules-based society. What law did I break? You heard the protester ask as he's being beaten and handcuffed. That might have been a good question to ask a few years ago. But of course, now it's too late. And you can see what happens when a nation tolerates authoritarianism, even for a moment. So you can either rebel immediately and say, we're not putting up with this. I'm sorry, we're free people in a free country. San Francisco did that in 1918 when the hypocrisy of their leadership became obvious. Or you can sit back and watch it accelerate. And in the end, you'll wind up like Australia and they'll shoot your dog.
This is insanity, ladies and gentlemen. This is where we've come to in this country. This is where we've come to in this country and in this world. Other governments are taking advantage of the same situation. The U.S. is not alone on this one. The Democrats are not alone. Every single country is using this to take advantage of their citizens. And guess what? In Australia, they've disarmed the Australian people. So you disarm the people, you got no one to fight. No one can fight back. And that's what they're trying to do over here. But we won't allow that to happen because we'll continue to fight. We'll continue to fight the good fight because Americans don't give up and Americans lead by example. We lead and we show other nations that we won't put up with this shit. Not on our watch. Because everyone is looking at America and everybody follows what we do. If we reject the idea and we stop it and we fight back, they will reject it and they will follow the Americans with it. They will. They know America. They know Americans and how Americans fight with heart, love, freedom. We fight with all these things and we always fight for a good cause. Sometimes we haven't in our history. We have to acknowledge that. But nowadays that doesn't exist. We're not living in those times. We're living in a different time period and Americans have fought in many different wars that have saved Europe, World War II being one of them. So we have to continue to fight. We cannot let them take over us or tell us what to do or how to or what to wear, what to put in our body. We can't allow that. We can't allow it to happen. We cannot. We have to lead by example. We're the only ones that could save this country and save the rest of the world as well. Now, I was the first person who ever reported on Enrique Henry Tarrio. Most of you would know him as the leader of the Proud Boys. He was just sentenced to, yesterday was sentenced to 155 days in jail. Now, I'm not a fan of Enrique Tarrio for many reasons. I know him personally. I was the first, although Reuters and all these other agencies will say they were the first ones to report on his cooperation with the federal government and what he did when he was indicted. I reported on it way before that because I knew it way before them. Well, he was given 155 days for burning a Black Lives Matter flag that they removed from a church, which is private property. And they were comparing it to the days of the Ku Klux Klan, which was very far-fetched. Now, the prosecutor was requesting 90 days of prison time. Of course, the judge, after hearing the pastor speak and after hearing Enrique Tarrio speak, felt that he had no remorse. I don't know how you could tell if somebody has remorse or not by just simply talking to them that first time, but decided, I'm going to go farther than that. I'm going to go ahead and use this guy as an example to everyone on the right, because this guy is not far right wing. I know him personally. He's not crazy. He's not a person that's far right wing. He just believes in the Constitution. His family's from Cuba. His family suffered a lot during the Cuban during Fidel Castro's regimen. And the guy didn't want to see that happen here in the United States. I'm not a fan of him personally, but I can tell you that the man was far from being a far right extremist, or was he a danger to anyone? Because I know him. He's never been a danger to anyone. He speaks his mind, and this is how they teach a lesson to anybody who wants to fight against the system. They give you more than what they require. What prosecutors, this doesn't normally happen. I mean, you guys have to understand something. When you get federally indicted, usually whatever the prosecutor recommends is what the judge chooses to give you. So this left-wing judge in D.C. decided, you know what? I'm going to take it a bit further. I'm going to give you more than 90 days. I'm going to give you 155 days plus 3 months of probation. So again, he's got to surrender September 6th. And most likely, he's going to have to put himself in solitary confinement because he is going to be targeted by people that know of him in prison. So he will be spending almost 6 months basically in a room stuck by himself. I mean, if he's smart, he'll put himself in solitary confinement because he will have a giant target on his back. But this is just a prime example of how America has everything upside down. But yet they won't arrest Black Lives Matters for any of the burnings of George Floyd or Maxine Waters for saying, we'll burn this sucker down. They won't arrest anybody for inciting actual violence. But a man that grabs a flag, private property, they could have easily just fined the individual, Enrique Tarrio. They could have just fined him, but no, they had to go way extreme and they had to file criminal charges. And they're saying, oh, they found two magazines, two empty magazines, may I add. And he was an ex-convict. I understand that. But either way, it doesn't merit the time period that they're giving him in prison. So what is a valuable lesson here? First and foremost, the government is not our friends. The federal government does not like anyone on the right, not under this administration. Not, I don't think under any administration at this point, they're fully compromised. And we must continue to fight for this freedom that we have in this country. Again, guys, if you want to be heard and if you have anything to say about anything we spoke about today, you can reach our direct line. It's only for you guys. Roger Stone answers the phone, but it's just a voice recorder. You can call us at 310-498-5463, 310-498-5463. Or you can email me at Jase, J-A-S-E, at the Republican Nation. God bless you, God bless your families, and God bless this beautiful country we call America.
America great again.